Are you sick of mansplaining?
We are too.
Now it's time for us to girlsplain.
Serious business today.
Yeah, we're getting down to it. Very serious topic. Taylor Swift. T-Swizzle, as she was referred to.
My queen. So, hi, everyone.
Hey, this voice you're hearing is Jody.
And this voice is Allie.
And this is Girlsplain Podcast, where we take the idea of mansplaining and turn it on its head to bring you informative content about gendered issues. Some are fun, some are serious, some are a bit of both.
But as always, in the most digestible and conversational way as possible. At the end of the day, we are two friends that are talking about the things that we care about and that we experience every day.
Yeah. So today we're going to delve into the intricate tapestry of narratives woven around one of the most iconic figures in pop culture, Taylor Swift. From her meteoric rise to her enduring influence, Taylor's story offers a lens through which we can explore the complexities of media representation.
Obviously, I'm very excited about today's topic because if anyone follows me on social media, you know that I am a big Taylor Swift fan. But I also thought that this was a really interesting topic because Taylor is someone that there is so much public discourse about this woman.
Yeah.
Everything she does is under the microscope.
Mm.
And, you know, whether it's good or bad media attention, to be on that level and to have genuinely everyone have an opinion about every single thing that you do.
Just so scrutinized.
Yeah. And I think it is a really great case study for looking at the way that the media talks about successful women.
I completely agree. And full disclosure, I am not a Taylor Swift fan. I'm not
both sides of the story.
I am not a non-fan. Mm. I honestly just have not been following the popular culture and discourse around Taylor Swift. Yeah. I find it a little bit overwhelming for my taste. So if you are a Taylor Swift fan or you are like me and very confused about the whole situation, you will be informed today. And hopefully, Allie, you can teach me a little something about T-Swizzle.
I'm quite happy to be the Taylor Swift expert on today's episode.
Welcome, Taylor
Swift
expert.
Finally, all that knowledge has had a calling.
Self-proclaimed Taylor Swift expert.
Yeah.
Let's start.
So for those of you who don't know who Taylor Swift is, I'm sure you've not been living under a rock, and you do. But for those that maybe need a little bit more of an introduction into her history, Taylor Swift released her first album, a self-titled debut, in 2006 at the age of 16. This album went platinum a year later. This is also when I first started listening to Taylor Swift. I'd like the record to state that I have been around since the beginning.
since you were five.
Her sophomore album, which is most likely where most people started listening to Taylor, is Fearless. This album catapulted her into the mainstream with two of her arguably most successful songs of all time being Love Story and You Belong With Me. I'd be incredibly
surprised. They're the ones I know.
Yeah, I'd be
definitely when I started listening.
I'd be incredibly surprised if you'd never heard those songs before. She received her first Grammy for Fearless. She was actually the youngest artist to ever win the Grammy for Album of the Year. And I think a really interesting thing to note is that every time she's won the Grammy for Album of the Year, she broke a record,
Oh, congratulations.
Very cool. I think
that is very cool, especially I don't want to say especially for a woman because that's what I mean, but especially for a woman in music.
The Grammy that she won most recently for Album of the Year, she's the only woman to win three Album of the Year records. She held that with Stevie Wonder and another male artist. And now she is the one artist in history that's won the most Grammys for Album of the Year, which is...
Oh, that's amazing.
It is very cool.
Wow, no wonder everyone is obsessed.
Yeah. She transitioned from country music to mainstream pop with her 2012 album Red, and by her fifth studio album, 1989, had completely transitioned into a full-blown pop icon, dominating the charts in the 2010s. In 2018, Taylor's master recordings, which are the original recordings of her music, was sold to controversial talent manager Scooter Braun, who we will talk about a little bit later. But this act catalyzed the decision for her to re-record her first six albums as a way to own her own music while also continuing to release new albums simultaneously.
That was a boss move.
It was a pretty boss move.
That was an absolute boss move.
Totally.
So where is Taylor now? Since 2006, Taylor has released 10 studio albums, with her 11th to be released on April 19th.
Mm.
She has been nominated for 52 Grammys with a total of 14 wins. She also holds the record for most Album of the Year wins ever, receiving the honour a total of 4 times. She's gone on to re-record 4 of her 6 first albums so far, and in 2023 she began her incredible Eras Tour, which shocked the nation in Australia. I don't think I've ever seen so much on my social media about one topic. Or in the media, I mean.
Yeah.
Anyway. Which is now the highest grossing, is it grossing or
grossing? Grossing.
Which is now the highest grossing music tour in history. That does not surprise me. The show is an impressive 3.5 hours long with a set list of 44 songs from her almost 20 years in music.
Yeah. It's pretty, I think whether you love or hate Taylor, it is pretty remarkable to see one artist be so successful over such a large period of time.
And
I'd be very surprised if, at the very least, people hadn't heard, like, her most iconic songs from every era. Like, they were, even before I was, like, a really big Taylor Swift fan, like, so much of my childhood was hallmarked by, you know, You Belong With Me, Love Story, We Are Never Getting Back Together.
Shake It Out.
Shake It Off. But, yeah.
Shake It Off.
But, you know, they're big songs. Yeah. And even if you don't love her music in the way that a lot of people do, I think there is something to
she's
be said.
She's a household
to, like,
name.
Yeah. To have respect for, you know, the level of success that she's had.
Oh, completely.
Which I think is why she's such an interesting case study, because
she's just brought so much to the world.
She's on an artistic level. She's contributed so much music. And also from a media perspective, there's been so much dialogue about her life. And really, she started her music career when she was 15. She's grown up in the public eye. She's 34, I believe, this year.
As the self-proclaimed expert.
I lie, 33. I got that wrong. She was born in 1989.
I'm pretty sure 19, yeah.
Yeah, I can't do
it. I'm pretty sure.
I'm bad at math. I'm not a bad fan.
Fair enough. So as someone that doesn't have really a whole lot of understanding about, you know, who Taylor Swift is, other than what Ali puts on her social media, for me, I think even just as someone that's taken in media generally, I've seen Taylor Swift has just been so scrutinized over time, you know, from her boyfriends. I remember, you know, she was dating Taylor Lautner at one point. And they broke up, and it was just this constant, you know, oh, Taylor's dating this person now, Taylor's dating that person now. And it's like, yeah, she's like in her 20s.
Yeah.
How many people did you date in your 20s?
Totally.
And even now, I mean, I don't really know what happened in the in-between, but even now with the Eras Tour, there is so much media. You know, there was one article I remember seeing, like, Taylor Swift causes unproductivity across Australia because apparently people weren't working hard and weren't buying tickets. And it was like, estimated loss to our economy from Taylor Swift is this. And not taking into account what she would have brought into our economy for tourism, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
There's always just some critical angle that's taken to any success that she seems to have, or any personal life
totally
movement. So, totally. Ali, take us through what that actually looks like.
Yeah. So, over the course of her career, one of the biggest media dialogues we've seen about Taylor Swift has been underpinned by a really heavy dose of slut shaming. You know, as much as her discography details the ins and outs of her falling in love and getting her heart broken, her dating life has really been made a spectacle by the media. You know, I think it's one thing for a songwriter to sit down and write songs about their experiences, but it's another thing for thousands, but millions of strangers across the world to be commenting on these experiences.
And
you know,
I think the interesting thing about Taylor, I remember it being so much like, oh, Taylor is writing these songs about her ex-boyfriends. Like, how could she expose them like this? It's like, you're dating a songwriter.
Also,
what did you think was going to happen?
Also, like, do we say the same thing about Ed Sheeran?
No.
Do we make the same critique of rappers that are, you know, going into sexually explicit detail about women? No.
Yeah, exactly.
No one's making these critiques. And I think there's a lot to be said about the way that successful women are spoken about compared to the way that men are spoken about. There is a quote from Taylor directly that says, the joke about her amount of boyfriends, you know, her songwriting was trivialized as if it were a predatory act of a boy crazy psychopath, which is so heartbreaking that those are her own words. Like, that's how she felt, because again, you know, she's writing about the things that she experiences. We all do it. We all have journals. Maybe not everyone, but a lot of people have journals. They write about things. They talk to their friends about it. that just also happens to be, you know, the way that she makes money, and also something that
it's her job.
So many people in the world benefit from.
Yeah.
Like hearing, for me, that's why I love her music so much, because I feel very seen and validated by her music. She also mentioned that if she was seen with a guy, it was assumed that she was sleeping with them. And so even having male friends that she was seen with in public, she was like instantly scrutinized for that.
And I feel like probably being in the music industry, the people who would really understand you are the other people in the music industry and other actors and stuff like that. So, you know, having friends that get who you are as a person, some of them are male.
Yeah.
I think that's really important and would have been really important for her at the time. But not to be able to do that without being criticized is just so hypocritical.
This is also something she referenced. It's something you said before, Jodie, actually, and something she directly referenced in her Vogue 73 Questions interview. You know, she said, you're going to date just like a normal 20-something should be allowed to do, but you're going to be a national lightning rod for slut shaming, which I think is such a powerful image, because how many dates do you go on as a single girl in your 20s? You know, like, they're not necessarily all people you 100%. Have relationships with. There's first dates. It's a very normal part of being.
100%. One of my friends very impressively set up like a Tinder date Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then picked her favorite. If Taylor Swift did that, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but if Taylor Swift did that, she would have been crucified.
Yeah, totally. Totally. It's, again, it's like having these very human experiences being magnified on this global level and then being commented on by the world.
And not positively.
No, it was almost entirely negatively.
Yeah.
There was never any.
It's not like, oh, thank God Taylor got over a breakup and now has this person.
Yeah.
Or is now out on the town as a single gal. It was like, Taylor Swift, crazy, does this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also something that she's referenced all in her music. So, you know, she has the song Blank Space, which I'm sure a lot of people have heard. But this is actually a satirical commentary on the way that the media spoke about her and her dating list.
One thing that I remember seeing on Snapchat, I think, was the Kimye scandal. Mm-hmm. What is that? How? Tell me more.
So this was a very, very, like, largely discussed issue. It started with Taylor winning, I believe it was a VMA, an MTV Video Music Award, when Kanye got on stage and took the microphone off her and said that Beyonce should have won the award instead of her.
What?
Do you not remember this?
No.
This was like early in her career, because she won it for the You Belong With Me music video. And it was so sad because, you know, she's made comments about the fact that the crowd was booing and they were booing him, but she thought that she was the one being booed.
Heartbreaking.
Which is so, so.
She would have been like, young too.
Yeah, she was, you know, I think maybe like 18, 19. I don't know the timeline exactly.
If that happened to me right now, I would genuinely cry.
Yeah, so. It's devastating. Yeah. And, you know, then they patched things up. There were photos of them together. You know, they seemingly mended this thing. And then Kanye released a song, I believe it was in 2016. He released a song called Famous, and there was a lyric in it that said, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. I made that famous. And she won a Grammy shortly after that was, you know, released. And she mentioned in her acceptance speech that, you know, it was a message to young women that there are going to be men in your life that try to take credit for your success.
I remember that.
But yeah, it was a big deal. Yeah. And then Kim and Kanye released a video saying that Kanye had called Taylor and told her what the lyric was, and she said it was fine. And the media instantly turned on Taylor and were like, she's playing the victim. It's, you know, a white woman villainizing a black man. The whole internet went into like a full like spiral of very anti-Taylor Swift. It was like, whether you agreed with what she did or not, it was a very like violently aggressive, you know, hashtag Taylor Swift is over party was trending on Twitter. Like it was a really massive thing, and everyone was commenting snake emojis on her Twitter, because Kim Kardashian posted a tweet that was like, wow, it's National Snake Day. Turns out they have a day for everything, like calling her a snake. So all that happened, and you know, everyone had kind of like different opinions on it, but like a year later, maybe 2 years later, it was revealed that Kim and Kanye had edited the phone call, the like video of them on the phone, and that he didn't reveal the whole lyric to her. They'd edited the video to make it look like she was agreeing to the entire lyric when she actually wasn't. And then like Taylor's publicist made a statement about it, and Kim actually then tried to like backpedal a little bit and was like, we never said that she heard the full lyric. which was basically her way of like trying to deflect the fact that she turned the entire internet and entire media against one person.
Gosh, just the power of celebrities is wild.
It's so scary. And then around the same time, there was also the controversy of her girl squad. I don't know if you remember the Taylor Swift girl squad, Jodie, being a really big deal.
Is that like the Bad Blood music video? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember that because Meredith Grey from Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. And Meredith Grey and Olivia Benson. I'm an SVU fan. And that was, so good.
That was a good video.
It was a great video.
I really enjoyed that. That was really girl powerful.
Well, you say that. However.
But the media.
It's pretty well known that that song was about Katy Perry because her and Katy had had some like friendship issues.
Had they had a falling out. Blood.
They had some bad blood. This is around the time her 1989 record was released. And Taylor was really trying to shake that negative media narrative about her dating life. So she was hanging out with all her friends and taking photos and going to dinner and, you know, again, doing what normal 20-year-olds do and just trying to focus on her music and her career and her female friendships. And thus emerged this idea of the squad, which became a really major media talking point. So there was, you know, the Bad Blood music video. She'd bring out guests on her 1989 tour, which were all her friends. And this naturally also attracted a lot of negative media attention.
I don't understand why, though. Like, why would you not support your friends?
So they were critiqued for not being feminist and promoting unrealistic beauty standards because they were all unattainably beautiful.
So a bunch of celebrities who are constantly in the public eye and critiqued on their looks, so they changed their looks to be the traditional idea of beautiful, were then critiqued for being the traditional idea of beautiful.
Yeah. There is some merit to the fact that, you know, the squad was kind of this display of white privilege. You know, majority of them were rich, skinny, white women who were successful and, you know, having fun. So I can understand where some of those criticisms do come from. And I at least understand that, you know, the point that they're trying to make. But I also have read a lot of discourse about the fact that there are also some problems with criticizing women for not being feminist enough, because while they may not encapsulate like the entirety of what feminism means as a group, that doesn't mean that what they're doing doesn't still like add value.
Completely.
You know?
Especially considering the music industry is male dominated.
Totally. Yeah. And it also does kind of ignore the fact that while largely there was a lot of white women in their friend group, it wasn't entirely white women either. And also they weren't all young. Like you mentioned, I can't remember the woman's name that plays Meredith Grey.
Ellen Pompeo?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. She was in that video too. Mariska Hargitay, I think that's how you say her name, from SVU. She was also in it. So it was like there was a range of different women and body types and people. But naturally, the media always, you know, have something to say.
Yeah.
And something that really sticks out to me from this time was Nikki Glaser, who is someone in the media. I actually don't know a whole lot about her, but I know she's famous. And she made a comment about Taylor Swift saying, "She's too skinny. It bothers me." You know, a little more recently, a documentary came out about Taylor called Miss Americana, and she revealed that in this time she was experiencing a really severe eating disorder. So, you know, to have someone make a comment like that when she was experiencing an eating disorder, and then, you know, her next era, like the Reputation era, she gained weight because she was healthier, and then all of a sudden people were saying Taylor was getting fat. So you really can't win.
I feel like, yeah, that discourse is just so common.
Yeah.
Same thing with Ariana Grande. Like when it comes to women in the eye.
Yeah.
Body image is just something that's so commonly discussed.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, much as for a lot of women in the media, there's a theme of tearing down everything she does.
Yeah.
She goes on dates. The media gives her hate for it. She spends time with her friends. She can't do that either. She writes music about her experiences. That's bad too.
I think that that just circles into the, you know, general idea that as a successful woman, she seems to pose a challenge or a threat to the entrenched patriarchal norms and sort of power structures in the music industry and just in general that have historically favored men. Her winning those Grammys and, you know, surpassing male artists, that really would evoke fear from some, you know, male-dominated, you know, media outlets or just individuals, because it is a threat to the patriarchy and those norms that have been systemically embedded in our society.
Totally.
And moreover, negative media narratives about successful women are not limited by any means to Taylor Swift. She's just a very good example of that. And I think one thing that was clear, you know, through our dating history was the double standards that persist for men and women comparatively. Things that are celebrated in men, like assertiveness in relationships, when they're met by, you know, when women experience those, they're met as negative things. Yeah. And so that disparity kind of translates into negative portrayals in general of more accomplished women because they are trying to be sort of subdued and put down. Further, the gender stereotypes that are sort of giving rise to the idea that men are sort of the powerful and dominant figures, which we all know and we all understand is just a part of life.
Yeah.
When someone like Taylor Swift challenges those ideas of male dominance, the media sort of overreacts sometimes and highlights that there's actually negative qualities associated with this female leader.
Yeah.
You know, if the female leader is not embodying those female traits of nurturing, submissive qualities, which Taylor Swift definitely hasn't, or the idea of prioritizing family over career, any deviation from that is sort of used as a way to make sensational news, but also to kind of reaffirm those gender stereotypes and reaffirm the sort of normative ways, which has been that women shouldn't be displaying those characteristics as much.
Yeah, for sure.
And also, the reality of the media is that media wants to sell.
Yeah.
You know, they're not there to paint a pretty picture. Mm. And highlighting someone that deviates from the female norms is a great way to be sensational and, you know, put out a clickbait title and further exacerbate negative portrayals of successful women.
Mm.
You know, stories that emphasize scandal or controversy, and things are more scandalous and controversial if they are deviating from the norm, which in ways Taylor really does, you know. And it also leads to women looking at Taylor and thinking, maybe I don't want to do the same thing because that's how I'll be portrayed.
Yeah, totally.
It would detract from women wanting to be at the forefront of their field because scrutinization from the media does not at all appear to be a positive thing. You know, that saying that all media is good media, all publicity is good publicity. I just don't think it could be true for the individual.
God, no. God, no. And, you know, that idea that all publicity is good publicity is not true when you're being cancelled.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether you do agree or disagree with any person in the media's actions, cancel culture is a very, very dangerous, dangerous thing.
It's such a powerful force and it just has the ability to shut people down and also stifle ideas and free speech.
Yeah. And, you know, people receive death threats for existing in the public sphere, which, again, whether it's Taylor Swift or genuinely any other person in the media, and whether you agree with what they do or don't,
they have a right to live.
they're just trying to exist. And it always makes me feel really sad for these people, because whether they wanted to be famous or not, doing what they love comes with this kind of emotional tax of everything you do being scrutinized by the public.
And of course it comes with its benefits. Like, obviously they're paid significant amounts of money, but at the end of the day, they're still a human.
Yeah.
You know, behind that song or behind that, you know, script in a movie.
As much as it's fun to listen to a song and speculate about who it might be about with your friends, or, you know, maybe make a silly TikTok about it, when those ideas are being amplified on such a large, like, scale, and then really, really negative and misogynistic ideas are being attached to them too.
If it was a man, that just wouldn't happen.
Totally. Totally.
And if it was speculating about something a man was writing about, it's more in a positive way.
Yeah. Yeah, usually.
And it's like, oh my gosh, who hurt him?
Yeah. 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 Real.
Who hurt Ed Sheeran? Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know.
No, but you're not wrong though.
You know what I mean, right?
I do. I think, I mean, for me, obviously, yes, I really love Taylor Swift, but I find it a really interesting character study to see how people respond to me saying that. I always say, I don't care if you don't care about Taylor Swift. Like, if you don't listen to her music, don't subscribe to it, that's so fine. But I do tend to have a problem with people that actively dislike her, because I find that usually, not every time, but usually the reasons that people actively dislike her are rooted in misogynistic ideas of the way she's been depicted in the media. And that is it's disappointing when people don't challenge those ideas for themselves and, you know, like think about the fact that that is a human being.
And I don't think Taylor Swift is alone.
God, no.
In Australia, one sensational thing that happened last year was the Matildas. And they are a soccer team, I believe. I am clearly living under a rock.
Stating the fact.
They're a soccer team.
Yep.
They were playing in the World Cup, I do believe.
Yeah.
And one of the Matildas' darlings, actually, you know what? She's not a darling. She's a sports player. Mm-hmm. One of the girl bosses.
I'm just laughing at you saying she's a sports player. You can tell we don't care about sport, but we care about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. We care about the people, if not the sport.
Exactly. So one of the sports person people. So Sam Kerr was one of the main players on the team.
Mm-hmm.
She is a world renowned global football icon, and she's the captain. She's the captain of the immensely popular Matildas. She's facing charges at the moment in England related to what was told to be the racially aggravated harassment of a police officer. And not so much the charges. I think maybe we'll just leave that out of the issue.
Totally.
But what was interesting is before we knew what the charges were and what she had done, the media just went on
the way they flipped.
Fire.
Yeah.
Like, she was the most incredible human being in the world.
Yeah.
Before we even knew, before anyone knew what the charges were, we knew there was something. There was some kind of incident involving Sam Kerr.
Yeah.
Some kind of charge or some kind of, you know, altercation with the police.
Mm.
And the way the media just snapped and framed her like some kind of villain that had done absolutely horrendous things without even knowing.
Yeah.
Honestly, innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah,
was window. Just not an idea at all. And just the way she went from, she was really a feminist icon in Australia. Mm. You know, she was at the forefront of her career.
Mm.
Women's football was suddenly something that everybody was obsessed with.
Yeah, the way the country really rallied around it.
It was amazing. Powerful. And it felt so incredible. Yeah. I mean, I've never watched a game of football in my life, but I turned this one on.
Yeah, totally, totally.
And it felt so nice to be seen and heard. Yeah. And Sam Kerr really was the icon for that.
Yeah.
But the way that quickly it just flipped was incredible. And without asking questions, I think was the problem.
Mm. And it says a lot about, I suppose, the fragility of how far the women's movements have come, right? Mm-hmm. Because we say that feminism has come so far and that, you know, we value women. But it does take very small things for people to very instantly turn on a woman.
Yeah.
Where in a man's case, he'd probably be given the benefit of the doubt before we had any further knowledge, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe not every time, but I would say that the chances of the whole media completely flipping their opinion based on one action that we didn't have the full story of.
Yeah.
They're just very, it's a very different response. And I think where women sit in the media, specifically when they're successful as well.
I mean, the example of that is like the O.J. Simpson trial.
Totally.
Like that was so polarized, right? There was like obviously people on both sides.
Yeah.
But there was almost no polarization when it came to Sam Kerr.
Yeah.
It was just, she's guilty. That's it.
Yeah.
Of what? We don't even know.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of, you know, clarity.
Mm.
The allegations suggested that Sam used insulting, threatening, or abusive language during an incident involving a taxi dispute in London back in January 2023. Allegedly, this caused distress to the officer in question. It is worth noting Kerr maintains her innocence, having not pleaded guilty, despite how the media portrayed it.
Yeah.
So if convicted, Kerr could potentially face a prison term of up to 2 years.
Mm.
And or a significant fine under the Public Order Act.
Mm. And again, obviously, we don't have the full story either.
Yes.
We're more so commenting on
how the media
has
reacted without any knowledge of the situation.
Yes.
And the media holds, like, for example, Sam Kerr, you know, is she going to get a fair trial the way that the media portrayed her? Hopefully. But. You know, the media holds such considerable sway in either reinforcing or contesting social norms. The media has such power. The way that they shape narratives could be incredibly positive. And in some cases it is, but a portion of the time, which is significant, the media's behavior does end up promoting these stereotypes.
Yeah.
emerging media platforms can serve as vehicles for the objectification of women and girls, yeah. which is often showcasing them in a hypersexualized, one-dimensional portrayal. Honestly, even in some cases, depicting overt violence against women.
Mm. So on that note, a good opportunity for us to take a look at some of the key ways that women are represented in the media and some of the issues around this. So, you know, some of the key portrayals of women generally that we see in the media are characterized by ideas including slut shaming, as we've mentioned previously, and then also on the reverse of that, the hypersexualization of women, which is very interesting that we can only go one way or the other. There's no middle of women just existing. They're either being slut shamed or hypersexualized, which is quite disappointing.
And I think often the media does reinforce these ideas of, you know, an attractive body or a standard of body that should be attained by women.
Mm-hmm.
Gioza et al. In 2021 defined body image, and I'm directly quoting, as one's perception, thoughts, and emotions revolving around one's own body. It is the depiction of one's body representation, including their mirror reflection, and it reflects social constructs which depend on a society's culture and norms. This conception is created using body ideals substantially communicated via media, family, and peers. So I think one issue that comes up for a lot of women and men, definitely and men, is body image and how that is portrayed by the media in a negative way. And it really does impact your own understanding of your body. If the people displayed in the media are seen as, you know, an idealized version of a woman, that's obviously what you're going to want to emulate, or an idealized version of someone who looks like you. And if there's no one that looks like you, that's an even bigger problem. But when you have someone that slightly deviates from that norm, they're criticized. You know, Taylor Swift puts on weight, she's fat.
Loses weight, she's too skinny.
Exactly. And so having this relationship with the media and constantly consuming these ideas of what you should look like directly affects women. And also directly affects how we interact with the world in the future. If we're negative about ourselves. That's going to be, you know, continuing on. And stereotypes in general about women are just constantly exhibited by the media. You know, the stereotypical portrayals of women and criticizing women when they don't fit into those stereotypical ideals really reinforces society's belief in gender stereotypes and it supports endorsement of gender role norms. It fosters, you know, sexism and harassment and really stifles career aspirations in women.
So looking at these ideas in the media and the way, obviously, that Taylor Swift has been represented, I thought it would be nice to briefly touch on some of the ways she's actively challenged these narratives, because I do think that she has done a lot of work into, you know, advocating for the way that women are represented in the media and the way that they should be represented. So we touched on before her advocacy for artists' rights, right? Her, like, re-recording her masters. And what this means for women in the music industry, because this has really led to a lot of significant shifts in the way that music industry works, especially as a new generation of female acts are following Taylor's example and, you know, refusing to sign deals that hand over complete control of their music. Olivia Rodrigo notably made ownership of her masters a precondition when signing her record deal. And in 2022, Zara Larsson bought back her recorded music catalogue and also set up her own label. And these are just two examples of many examples of women in music kind of responding to this. Also in terms of her advocacy work, and also on a very personal level as well, in 2020 there was a really public trial in response to allegations that a DJ, David Mueller, groped her in 2013 when they were getting a photo taken. So there is a photo that's being taken while he is grouping her. He lost his job after these accusations and went on to accuse Taylor of defamation and sued her for $3 million in damages. She countersued and won her countersuit for a symbolic $1 with a federal counterclaim against Mueller for assault and battery. Aside from the actual justice of the trial, she also used this as an opportunity to advocate for women that experience sexual assault. Being on her level of fame, she had a lot of harsh accusations about why didn't you scream or react quicker, which is
victim blaming. And it's also just not necessarily the way that people react to a sexual assault. You know, we've got the fight, flight, and freeze responses.
And, you know, I think for someone on her level of fame to speak so candidly and bravely about what she experienced and also the damages of sexual assault is a really empowering thing for young women, especially young women that look up to her, but also I think more broadly, you know, to see someone that is that famous so openly talking about this is, you know, inspiring.
It's so important.
Mm, yeah. And also just briefly to touch on, you know, she has been known for her advocacy work in the LGBTQ rights space. She did early in her career attract some negative attention for not partaking in political discourse.
I do want to say, though, one thing about that. There is some kind of pressure on people in the spotlight to share their political views and be politically active. But when it comes to a woman in the spotlight, there's already so much pressure upon them.
Totally.
The onus on them, the onus being placed on them to show these political views, whilst, of course, that is what you would like your famous, you know, your idol or icon to do.
Yeah.
It is just unfair pressure
totally
to have a woman be forced to fight for women's rights and women's issues
totally
when those are issues affecting them.
Yeah,
the onus should not be squarely on women to fight for these causes. I just want to put that out
there. No, I think there's some there's a lot of validity in that statement, because also there's a lot of pressure on artists generally, I think, to make comments on political discourse. And while they are in the public eye and their opinions do really matter, of course, I think there's also something to be said about the fact that they're not experts in that field.
Yeah.
And so in some cases, for people to be making comments about things that they don't necessarily have entire education about would actually be problematic.
Yeah, it could definitely be detrimental. You know, making any unfounded statement, even if the intention is good, can have far-ranging consequences.
Yeah, totally. I think you're very right in the fact that we place a lot of expectation on celebrity. Just something to keep in mind, I suppose.
Of course.
In saying that, in her Miss Americana documentary, which I spoke about earlier, we kind of saw her personal reaction to the fact that she had not been political. She has a very heated discussion with her team and her father about wanting to make political statements. And, you know, mentioning the fact that she was incredibly disappointed in herself for not backing Hillary Clinton, and saying, you know, she didn't want to be on the wrong side of history, which I think, again, to like publicly show this experience as well of her like grappling with this issue.
Yeah.
Again, it's like important because it does kind of break down some of those media narratives where they take away the human element of it and forget that she's a person.
It's also just a way that, you know, it's powerful that she's held herself accountable for these things.
Totally. Yeah. You know, even with, she has a song called Better Than Revenge, which came out on one of her earlier records. She has a lyric in the song that people made comments was a little bit slut-shamey. And so when she re-recorded that album, she changed the lyric and has since said, you know, at that point in her life, while that was how she felt, she can also recognize now that it was a very immature way to respond to that situation, and that she doesn't subscribe to those ideas and doesn't want people to think that she does. Hence, she changed the lyric. And I agree. I think there's something to be said about people on that level also holding themselves accountable for their actions and the way they might have negatively contributed to people's experiences.
Agreed. I think it's important that we work to break the cycle on these ideas together. And I think there's a lot of individuals who are challenging the way the media portrays women. Because when we do portray these gender roles and, you know, double standards, it leads to bias and, you know, women being judged unfairly in comparison to their male counterparts.
Yeah.
I think one thing that's very important to raise is the lack of representation. We talked about it a little bit earlier with Taylor's girl group, but we need to make sure that the media is not just focusing on characters like Taylor Swift. As much as she is an incredible individual, we need to make sure that the media is representing marginalized groups or unrepresented individuals because a lack of, you know, broad coverage does contribute further to biased portrayals of successful women in the media, that they look a certain way or come from a certain background. There are broader implications for this treatment of women by the media.
Totally.
Negative media treatment perpetuates harmful stereotypes. It discourages women from leadership roles. It reinforces gender inequality and shapes public perception, impacting women and also impacting women's opportunities for advancement. So addressing these biases requires challenging stereotypes, advocating for diverse representation, and actually holding media outlets accountable for their fair or unfair coverage.
Totally. I think, you know, in terms of what we can do, consuming media from outlets that are credible and that do hold space for all different kinds of women and men, that, you know, tell stories of people that are in marginalized communities, that that tell the full picture.
And often provide information rather than, you know, of course it's nice to read colorful writing.
Sure.
But you can read colorful writing without consuming it.
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
It's making sure you're selecting, you know, news outlets that are providing factual information, maybe with a bit of colorful language, but clickbait is just never the way for you to consume media.
Totally.
You know, one of my former friends would read a headline off Facebook and come to me like that was a genuine thing that had happened in politics and say, I can't believe X, Y, and Z has done X.
Yeah.
I was like, did you click on the link?
Yeah.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
So make sure, you know, you're reading more than just the headline.
Totally. And on that note too, in conversation as well, being conscious of your language and the way that you might be contributing to these negative images that are being crafted by the media. And just, you know, being conscious to deconstruct that bias in your own everyday life.
Yeah. And whether or not you sip the Kool-Aid and started believing the things the media is saying.
Totally.
Obviously, some of it you'll have to believe because where else are you going to get your news from? But just challenging, like Ali said, the ideas that they're putting out.
Yeah.
If it's gossip, it's probably not news.
Totally. Totally.
So I don't think there's any real specific, you know, place we can tell you to seek help if there's misinformation in the media or, you know, gender bias that you've recognized. But there are definitely people working to hold individuals and journalists to account.
Totally.
For example, a book that really stuck with me was Fixed It by Jane Gilmore. It's from 2019, where she took bits of the media and genuinely fixed them.
Yeah.
With a red Sharpie. She originally put them on her Twitter, but wrote a book after that. That's a very good book and incredibly informative if you'd like to read a little bit more on this topic. If this did bring up more serious feelings and emotions that would amount to a personal crisis, Lifeline is a non-for-profit organization that provides free 24-hour telephone crisis support services in Australia. That's 13 11 14.
And while it is challenging to provide resources for this topic, we will, in our show notes, list a variety of Australian media outlets that we tend to prefer to look to so that, you know, you can maybe be thinking about other places you might be able to source your news from.
Thank you so much for listening. As always, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok at GirlsplainPod.
Or you can head to our website, www.girlsplainpod.com.
Please listen wherever you'd like to and wherever you are listening, if you would leave us a comment or a review, a number of stars, that would be really helpful just to see if you girls are liking what we're doing. We'd really appreciate that.
Totally.
I'm Jody.
I'm Ali.
And you just got girlsplained. T-swizzle style.